So without further ado, I don't want to hold his time.
Brother Jan.
General, come on up here and preach to us, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. My brother Morgan said, I'm glad I'm anywhere. I want to talk to you tonight about marriage. I decided to do this probably a couple months ago when I turned down Allie here for marriage. She asked me to marry her and Daryl, and I said, I'm already married. I turned down a lot of marriage proposals by now. But when she said this, you know, and we was at a Bible study one night, and she said, are you going to counsel us? And I always, my only stipulation for me to do the ceremony is that I get to counsel you. I figure if you don't know the Lord, I got about an hour to try to convince you and show you what the truth is. And so I don't really care as long as you'll let me sit down with you in the Word of God and show you what you're fixing to do. I'd be happy to do it. I always am happy to do weddings. But I want to make sure that you know what you're doing. Because here's the thing. If you're going to make a vow to the Lord, you better be serious about it. I made one to him about 30-some year ago. I ran from it a couple times, and he took it serious. He never let up on me, buddy. Let me tell you something. When you make a vow to the Lord, you better be serious about what you're doing. If not, just go to the Justice of Peace. I'm telling you, do not make a vow to the Lord that you do not mean. I told a couple this not too long ago. Done a wedding on a covered bridge, beautiful wedding. Never seen it. Last I heard, he was going back to Michigan. She went her way. You know, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. Marriage is a very important thing when you make a vow to the Lord. I don't care what it is, it's not marriage, it's anything. It's an important decision that you're making because you're vowing to the Lord that you're going to do certain things. And what I make them vow to do, I make them understand what they're vowing to each other. You know, I've done videos and stuff of the weddings, and I said, now listen, when your marriage hits the rocks, when it's really, really bad, then pull out that DVD or CD and listen to what you promised each other. Go back to that time that you promised each other and what you said you would do. And I've done a wedding pork back. Done it not in Lula Falls. And I'm just as serious as a heart attack. I don't care who it is about what I'm doing when I do a wedding. But at the very last of this wedding, I just couldn't resist myself. I tried not to. But at the very end, after all the vows were said and everything, I said, you may kiss the bride. I said, if you take this woman to be your lovely wedding wife, signify by saying, boy, howdy. But she said, boy, howdy. And I said, if you take this man to be your lovely wedding husband, signify by saying, yahoo. And so he went, yahoo. And I said, you may kiss the bride and ride off into the sunset. Another couple asked me one time, so would you marry us? And I said, the same to them. I said, no, I'm already married. And they said, would you perform a ceremony? And I said, yeah. And they said, I got a problem. So I said, well, what's your problem? They said, we've been married before. And I said, you do? And they said, we got another problem. I said, we want to get married in a nightclub. And I said, I don't care where you get married. And they said, you'll perform at the wedding in the nightclub? I said, I don't care where it's at. It don't matter to me. And so we go to this nightclub in Fort Payne. And it had a 57-model Chevrolet sitting like this right here. And there were lights going all the way around. They came up in a pair of black blue jeans with a black shirt, black hat on, and had a cowboy wedding at that nightclub. And I preached that wedding just like I would at any other church. And when I got through, people come up to me in the nightclub and said, preacher, I have never, ever heard of a wedding like that. I said, what are you drinking, preacher?
And I said, "Champagne." When I left, the whole table, I put 50 glasses of champagne down on that table. I drank your glasses and left, and the people came to our church for a year. And they finally came up to me and said, "You know, we don't like the way and where we got married." They said, "We don't like where we got married at." And I said, would you do it again? And I said, "No. You cannot do that again." Mary Jo asked him one time, I said, "Why don't we get remarried?" I said, "Ah, no. You know, we did it right. And, you know, I'm not going to get remarried, you know, or do our vows over again." You know, I understand it's a woman thing, you know. I mean, I have no trouble with that because I've never had many men say anything about a wedding anyway. and it's amazing, you know, like weddings, it's a good time. I enjoy it. I really enjoy weddings, you know. And a lot of times, you know, you got a bride, and you got the groom that's just nervous. I'm back there with the groom. So most of them are like this. You know, and just like you're right, the whole time. And so I'm thinking, man, this guy, he's making me nervous, you know? What can I do to stop him from being so, you know, just so, you know, he's just, I mean, because, you know, he's nervous, man, you know? And so I look at the best man and I say to him, I say, "How about when they come walking down the aisle, the bride and the groom?" And I say, "Who gives this woman to be wed?" It's her father. I said, "I'm going to call," and I'm talking to the best man, "I'm going to call for you to pray." Now you would say, I'm like, and gears are turning in their head, you know, preacher, I don't know why I can pray. I said, "Sure you can. You're the best man." And usually, man, that's sweating bullets. Hard to publicly speak to him. Y'all know what I had to do to preach? I had to quit eating white flour, quit eating sugar, and quit eating meat. I'm not joking you, that's Mary Jo. When I would preach, I would have welts all over my body. I would break out just like, I'm all over my body. Just itch after I got through preaching, you're scared to death. You know, it's hard to publicly speak. Weddings are fun. One guy at a wedding, he said, "You care?" And I never do this now. I never do say, "If there's anybody in the room, if you have any objection to these two being married, speak or forever hold your tongue." I know a guy flew to California and did that. He went to his ex-wife's wedding and said, "I fell in love with her." Well, I figured a long time ago, I ain't going to say that. I'm not going to put myself in that situation. Well, this guy said, "You hear, when you say that, if I pull a gun out," I said, "Do what?" He said, "Yeah, I don't pull a pistol out. I said, ain't got no bullets in it." He said, "No." And I said, "I don't care." So when I said that, he pulled a pistol out like you're right here, like you got any objection, you know? You know, weddings are fun. That's what they meant to be in. It's a serious thing. No matter where you do it at, it's very serious when you make vows to God. I've made a bunch of them, and he's kept me to my word. He hasn't. I believe he's going to keep you to your word. Look in Numbers chapter 30. Watch this in Numbers chapter 30. I'm sorry. Take too long. I got 3 hours. 7. I got to do it. 20 minutes now. Numbers chapter 30. Look at verse 1. "And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with it with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth." Boy, I'm telling you what. When you say things, I by ordination, they ask me, so what if everybody in the world turned against you? What would you do? And I said, it's a small thing that I'm just the man. You know, the Lord took me at my word, and I'm sitting by myself, you know, thinking about what I said. You better watch your mouth and what you say to the Lord. He says in verse 3, "If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, her father heareth her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond within she hath bound her soul shall stand.
But if her father disallowed her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or her bond wherein she hath bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed it.
Now look at the man in the situation. The man in the situation here, there's a woman that makes a vow unto the Lord, but the man heard it, and you know what he can do? He's like, she didn't mean that, Lord. The man, Brian Sipes, you know, I thought about what Brian said, you know, and 1 Timothy over there where that Adam was not in transgression. And that the woman is to be in submission unto the Lord, unto the man. And you know what? When he said that, that's the kind of went along with what I'm going to preach. And I said, thank God for it. I remember times when people started preaching something I was going to preach. And I said, oh Lord, he's preaching my sermon. Now I thank God for it when they say stuff. You know, that fits in with your sermon. You know, it just kind of makes things go together. You see, in the marriage, the man has no excuse. I'm going to say 90-something percent of the time, if a marriage fails, it's the man's fault. It's not the woman, it's the man's fault. I'm telling you, my ex-wife loved me to say that. Look at verse 6. I told her that on Facebook. Verse 6, I couldn't tell her to her face. Verse 6, if she had at all a husband, when he bowed and uttered all out of his lips, when she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand and her bonds where she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vows which she vowed and that which she uttered with her lips wherein she bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. But notice now, the vows that you make, the things that you say, and the place of the woman and the place of the man.
Same
glasses. Well, these glasses are giving me a lot of trouble. I just bought them. I'm doing this number on me. But you know, when I teach things about the women and I teach things about the man and the marriage, most of the time I have the women go and say, thank you for teaching that. It's not a place of dishonor. It's a great place when two people become one. Now, I want you to think about something. Tomorrow, I will do wedding, and they will do their vows. But I want you to listen to me. I am not putting them together tomorrow. That ain't what's happening tomorrow. I am not putting them together. Look in Matthew chapter 19. Watch this in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, now make sure everybody understands what we're doing when we do the wedding. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for ever called? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? I always use this for evolutionists. I always use it first. I put the argument between them and Christ. Christ said when it began together, male and female, there wasn't no one set to sell them any of them. That wasn't true. Look at verse 5. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Now, I want you to notice the one flesh there. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. You see that? Who put them together? Then tomorrow I'm not putting them together anymore. You know, to be put together of God in a marriage is for the man to take his rightful place and teach the woman. And he's the person that has to teach the woman about God. And if he don't do it, his marriage is not going to stand. Now, it might go on for 40 years, but it'd be 40 years of just pure hell. God has put the man in charge, and the man is supposed to lead his wife.
and he's supposed to take his Bible and lead his wife. When I married Mary Jo, you know what I did to Mary Jo? When she said, when I had problems, I said, look right here, and I'd point to the Bible, and I let her read the Bible, and I just walk off. I led my wife. God put us together. How did he put us together? With his word. We weren't put together on that day. It was a period of time. We made a vow to the Lord, and I vowed to the Lord that I would teach that woman in the Word of God. And she made a vow to me that she wouldn't listen to me teach her in the Word of God. That was our vows. We were one flesh. We became one flesh. Just recently, you know, I'm always trying to manage my marriage. I'm always trying to do what God called me to do, and that's to lead my wife. Well, a man don't take care of his own house. I'm trying to leave my wife. And so the other day I got to thinking about this thing about the one flesh. The Bible says she's flesh of my flesh. You ever look at your wife like she's your flesh? I thought about that the other day. You know, something, I don't know what it was. You know, it's just little stuff with us. It's always just little small stuff. Not enough to even worry about hardly, but when you let it go, it just gets snowballed. And so I looked at Mary Jo, and she was doing something wrong, and Mary Jo knows. If I say anything to her, it's to help our marriage. And so when I was looking at her, I was trying to say something to her that I knew that would help our marriage, and I got to thinking about that. If she's my flesh, then I'm looking at my flesh doing that. I got to thinking. Am I doing it? How about that? Before you go lead your wife, what if you look at yourself? See if you're doing that. You know, how many people do that? Yeah, you're to lead your wife. How come your wife doing that? Say, well, she's just bad. Maybe you're just a poor leader. You ever thought about that? Maybe you just ain't leading your wife. You know, look in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, over the years, you teach on these things and you watch people's marriages. You watch their own. And you just watch marriage in general. And you watch what people are doing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man prayeth or prophesieth having his head covered, dishonors his head. That's the reason I don't wear a hat. Or hairpiece. I'm just joking. Look what it says in verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, discovered her head, for that is even as all as if were shaven. Why you discover the Bible with these glasses? I didn't realize that. Give my money back. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn, but if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let it be covered. You know, when I looked at this passage, and I looked at all the words pertaining to the word covered, and looked at where it came from, you know, the room, and all that, the thought I got in my mind had to do with opposition. The thought kept coming in my mind, opposition. You know, whenever a man goes against what the Lord said, it's like opposition. It's like you're covering the Lord. The Lord, you know better than to do it, but you go and do it. That's what you know, men are a whole lot more hideous, if that's a word, than women. Eve was deceived, Adam was not. You know, men are not deceived, they just do it. Women do it, and they're deceived. That's amazing to me. You know, we have a position that we don't cover our head. The greatest thing you could do to love your wife is to get in his book and lead her in the Word of God.
Let her see you open his book. Retire like Brian did. So she says, they retired. He's under the Bible. And I said, don't look like you retired me. That's a lot of work. You know, the best thing you can do for your children is to pick up that book and let them see you read the Word of God. Amen. Let this be the head. Let the Word of God be the head. And don't never cover up your head. You know, it's that you're not in opposition with this, see. And you don't cover, and neither is a woman to cover up her head. And it has to do with, you know, her head is man's, what it says in the passage. Her head is the man. And you know, in the passage, when we read here in the passage, I remember my son-in-law came over, had long hair down to his back, you know. And he sat at my table, he's going to marry my daughter. And he said, and I knew the whole time, by the way he acted, that the hair was really bothering him. I taught his class and nasty. Orange, blue, green. I mean, they came in all different sizes and shapes. And I had to deal with that a lot, you know. So I seen him fidgeting around my table. I said, listen, let's just get this underneath the table. I don't care about your hair. I said, I might be a preacher, but it has nothing to do with anything. I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just turning the Bible and showing you where hair ain't got, long hair ain't got nothing to do with it. It's all in your mind. It goes against nature. That's what it does. It goes against nature. Ain't gonna, I had a friend of mine, I talked to his Hal John. He had long hair, and he said, you know, he said, when I go up to the counter sometimes, when I go to buy something, they, you know, they, I come up around first and they put me last. He said, I believe it's called my long hair. Then he said, I've been walking down through there, and it's a woman, she has a purse in her hand, and when she sees me, she puts the purse in the other hand. I have long hair. She thinks I'm a bad guy. So they do that with the children. You know what I told John? I said, ain't no truth to that at all. That's all in your mind because you've gone against nature. It's in your mind. Naturally, you would think that because the Bible says that nature itself teaches that a man has a long hair. It's a shame to him. To who? Not to me. To you. It's not my problem. I don't care if you have long hair. I never could have long hair, and I knew if I could, I'd have had it down to my butt. I would have wore it, but I never could have it. I never had it. Never had the chance. But it goes against nature. When you go against God, you as a man in your family, and you in opposition with God, you're going against nature. And you as a woman, if that man is studying the Word of God, and he is doing what's right, and you don't follow that man, then you're going against nature. Your marriage is not going to stand if you stand up and make a vow to him that you're going to teach your family, the groom is going to teach the family, and then the bride is going to follow, and you make a vow to the Lord, and you don't keep it, then you know, the Lord is not going to bless your marriage. You're going to be like everybody else. Uproar. That house right over there we go to is in an uproar. The next house we go to is in an uproar. If they're all in an uproar, and mine would be. If I didn't leave my wife. And if I didn't leave her with the Word of God. Well, my wife will follow me and do anything I want her to do as long as I do it the Word of God. I don't have no problem with that. Look in Ephesians. Watch this in the book of Ephesians. You know, and the book of Corinthians over here, it says the man is not without the woman, the woman is not without the man. She's my wife. For me to hurt her is to hurt myself. Amen. So let me take a hammer, man, that's mine of her. Girl's here, and just bam! Beat that thing. I'm just hurting myself. So why would I want to hurt myself? No reason for it. Look at that in Ephesians chapter 4. You know what I like about Ephesians chapter 4? Well, I'll tell you this, man. Then it's on Ephesians chapter 4. This is Ephesians chapter 5. I said it 5, but I'm going to draw it out of the door. Ephesians 5, look at verse 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A wife, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as unto the Lord. Well, how do you submit yourself unto the Lord? You know, there were some people, when I pastored a church down on yonder, I started the, when it started here, I started pastoring the church. Well, when we started the church, on Sunday anyway.
And so I was driving back and forth, and some ladies came from Oneonta, and me and my wife was in the whale shed, and I was trying to get a pump up that was like 100 and some feet down in the ground, and it was all galvanized pipe. So I'm jacking when they come along, and I'm taking the torque, cut it off, jacking, cut it off. And it's all I can do to get it up, and Mary Jo happened. Beep, beep. Mary Jo goes outside, and the whole car load full of women. Said, we going shopping. You want to go? And she said, wait just a minute, let me go out to Jamie. So she comes in, she goes in the well, shed, and she says, you know, all the women are out there, and I know you can't do without me. I said, I'll manage, Mary Jo. I'll find some way of doing it. I said, just go on over, you know. So she went out there and got in the car load. And they said, one of them said, huh, don't have to ask my husband to do everything. And Mary Jo said one of the coolest things. You know what she said? Well, he's my Lord.
Amen.
You know, that was one of the coolest things, that he's my Lord. You know how the Lord is to me? He never punishes me.
Amen.
How about you? What do you do, wife? What are you doing with your... You know, he leads me and guides me. He comforts me. Never does he ever hurt me. How about you in your marriage? You know, the way you see the Lord... Listen, the Bible says wisdom is justified of all our children. I watch marriages, and I watch people sit down, and I watch how they do in the marriage and stuff like that there, and I know that that man out there ain't got a bit of wisdom. But I watch his wife. That's why I don't respect him for anything, you know? Because he pushed his weight on her so long, she's not going to take it no more. It's amazing to me how that a young couple can get married and they love each other. I mean, God, you can't get the hand off each other and stuff, you know? And then the man sees that, and the man get her to do, go get me this, go get me that. And she doesn't do anything for him. Then she finds out it's all his will, what he wants. And she gets enough of that. It all, and just about every marriage I see starts out like that. The man don't know how to lead the woman. He has no idea what love is. He has no idea about the fruits of the Spirit. And he has no idea about giving yourself for his wife. You know, I remember studying that verse, giving yourself for your wife. Was there an onion? And one of our kids was going to go do something, or was going to do something, and I wanted to go really bad. So that old man just jumps out at me, and I'm just, ooh, no. So me and Mary Jo talking, and finally I said, well, listen, I just ain't going to go. I'll just stay here. He said, okay. So later on, things happened and everything. She said, well, ain't you going to go? And I thought about how Adam gave himself for his wife. And I said, no. I wanted to go so bad, but I done stuck a size 8.5 in my mouth. And I thought, I'm studying that verse. And I thought, I give myself to my wife. When I say stuff to my wife, I tell him, the Lord never says anything to me that he don't mean. Nothing. You know something? I don't say nothing to her, but I don't mean that don't happen. You know when I started it? That night on him. And you know something else I'll do too? God, I like this. I don't say nothing about you that I don't mean. If I say anything about anybody in this room, you can tell everybody because I don't care. I'm telling you. I shouldn't have said it, should I? It's better just to live your life like that, say what you mean, and watch what you say, like Brother Moore you say. Put mind in gear before you, what do you say? Put mind in gear before you open mouth. Yeah. Put your mind in gear. Word means things. They're taking a bow to the Lord. They submit themselves to one another. What? In fear of the Lord. I mean, if you're not going to do that, go to the judge of the peace, see? Don't fool around with this. It's not something, and it don't matter who you do it at. I mean, I've done a double wedding in Nashville. The guy that I did it for, his family was filthy rich. He had long hair, and he played in a nightclub. So they thought, you know, who was this guy, a hippie, and we didn't run him off our list, and this preacher's a hippie or something. And so he came to the Bible study, old Tom, he came all the time, never missed. So he said, I want you to perform a wedding for us. I said, okay, see, my friend won't get married with us, you know, and we're going to have a double wedding. So we're going to do a music row there, and that. Now he told me his parents were rich, but I didn't really realize how rich they were until about 40 limos come pulling up. I mean, there was just limo after limo after limo after limo that came up there. And so we're in the back. Tom is just cool, calm, like, you know, water off a duck back here. You know, nothing to it. His friends are like, you know. And so I know what, I've done enough weddings to know a lot of things are going to go haywire here. And so I keep peppermint in my pocket. I did a funeral too. And when the ring bearer just came, you know, and they go to the God. And so this guy, he's doing this other. And I said, well, listen, what if I make a mistake and I ask you, will you marry Tom's wife?
He said, I'll say I do.
Oh, weddings are fun, but they're also a serious time in your life. And if you won't back out, and if you don't have an inkling in your thoughts that you're not going to do this for the Lord, then my advice to you is not to make that vow. Not to make. Look at that in verse 33. Why submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord? Well, are you willing to do that? Have you got the kind of man that you can do that with? You know, Darryl was this big when I took him to the Bible camp. And took him. We got pictures in Sunday school room. He's just little sleeping, little in his kids. And Darryl, not too long ago, you remember when it was, Darryl? When you got saved?
Yeah,
July. See, you're going to do it again. No, he was down in my living room. I said, Darryl, when did you get saved? He said, I said, Darryl, you had church to cry? He said, nope, nobody's ever asked me. Then nobody just asked me one-on-one. And he was this big, you know, when he started. And he trusted Christ. Allie, her daddy's high up in the Mormon church. And she came and just like a breath of fresh air to her to hear this. Mm-hmm. And she goes home and she's on fire, you know, and the dad, he's getting him interested in it because she's on fire. And even her kids are going home to her dad, telling him things he's never heard. And I'm getting to watch the next generation come up. Now that's amazing. You see him come up, now his kids. I'm really hoping I'm not around the city, his grandkids. I hope it just don't last that long. But the marriage, it can be a great marriage or it's going to be a complete swap. I don't believe there's no in-between, sir. And if you follow the Lord, like I said in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be unto their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So are men to love their wife as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now that tells me something, don't you? If I take that statement for itself, and I see a man jumping all over his wife, he don't even love himself, does he? A misery loves something. He says in verse 29, but no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. I find that interesting. Amazing to me. I am part of his body and his bones. You know what that tells me? That tells me the Lord loves me. And he wouldn't do nothing to hurt me.
Amen.
And he gives the example of a wife. And a man and his wife. How that the man would do that to his wife. And he says in verse 32, this is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ in the church. I bet y'all thought I was talking about marriage, didn't you? Look at what it's saying here. That's a great mystery. You understand that? That the Lord loves us so much and gave himself for us. That is what I'm to teach my wife. I'm the teacher about the love of the Lord. I can't know that unless I get in his book and I find out what he thinks about me and how he loves me. And until I do, I can't teach her. I can't lead her. And she's not going to follow. Like I said, if you don't do that, you're not going to have a good marriage. It's not going to last. So when you vow to the Lord, what are you vowing? You vowing that you're going to lead your wife in the Word of God. What does a woman vow? That when he does, you will follow her, because everything naturally will fall in order. It will be natural. And you won't have to try. You won't have to work at it. It'll come naturally. There'll be no opposition. I don't care who you are and where you come from, a woman according to the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Look at this in Genesis chapter 2. I said, I told a whole room full of women one time about this verse. And they said, not me. Then I told them what it meant. I watched all of them change their attitude. I watched all of them. My heart. Look in Genesis chapter 3. Verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, that he shall rule over thee. There ain't no woman in the world that does not desire for a man to rule over her. Like I said, I said that to some women, they said, ha! Not me. I don't want a man to rule over me. I said, what if he rules over you with kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance? What if he does it that way? What if he takes care of everything for you and you have no worries? Why wouldn't you want somebody to be like that? You know, a woman desires a man to do that. He desires a man, but the woman is not, the Bible says she's the weaker vessel. She don't have the strength. When you put everything naturally like it's supposed to be, then it just comes out right. And you don't have to work at it. You don't have to try. It just happens. And whatsoever God has put together, well, how are you going to put you together? The man studies the Word of God. The man teaches his wife and teaches his family. And God puts it together. And if you don't do that, you're not going to have no marriage. It's not going to happen. I see women just run their husbands down. It's like uncovering your head. That's opposition. I see men run their wives down. The desire of a woman, it's got a man rule over them. Well, wait a minute. We have desire too. Men have desire. Others desire what you like. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Yeah, I ran up on this one. Thought, yeah. It explains a lot about me. Proverbs chapter 19. It does to you if you're a man. And I guarantee you can relate to this as being a man. And you can relate to this in your marriage. And Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness. You see that? You know, I think. Once Mary go out any time I give it, get a left and a right, she wouldn't know what hit her. She'd wake up the next day. You know, because I'm strong, she's weak. But I don't desire to do that. My desire is kindness. I want to be kind. And I've noticed some things about myself with this verse. Sometimes I'm trying to make this our marriage, and the opposition is there. I mean, it's like, no, I did something wrong. I'm trying to, I'm not doing nothing wrong here. I'm trying to not hurt myself. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to know, something wrong here. I'm trying to fix that. You know, I'm trying to be kind. And then when she don't receive it, it aggravates me. You know why? Because
because I know we listen to her. It's not me, we. And I know it's going to happen. And you know what I'm trying to do? Just keep her from getting hurt. My desire is kindness. And when I don't get my desire, it aggravates me, it frustrates me to no end. So I find ways of explaining to my wife that I'm not doing this because it's something I want you to do. It's something the Lord wants us to do. And then it all works out just naturally. I like that. And Mary Jo, I've drugged her from places for, through the years, and she just followed right in behind her. You know why? She knew I was thinking with the Word of God. A woman will follow you, and she desires that. She desires that in a man. She's got no other way of learning. Look in the Peter. I'll stop over in Peter. I see you alone. Matter of fact, I thought I had more time. He said, three preachers. I thought, I never made night time preaching. This is the first time I got to preach at night. I made it to the big time. That's Peter chapter 3. I didn't get to do an hour. So, he don't know. I'll do that anyway. First Peter chapter 3. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. How about that, wives? Have you sat around and talked about your husband and the things that he does in the Word of God? That's how other women are won. They won by that conversation that you have about your husband. Look at this in verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and the wearing of gold, or the putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Now you do know that. Being quiet is might. The Bible says to be quiet is might. Mary Jo, with the weak afterwards, I slung the green beans against the wall. Mad, boy. Boom, slung the green beans. She said, you like to clean that up. So I walked off. And I thought, God, I got to clean that thing up. But I don't have to do that no more. She's quiet. Listen, you can accomplish a lot if you just be quiet. You just don't know what that will do to your marriage, to your life. It's to be quiet. I listen to women run that mouth and run down their husbands. I'm sitting there thinking, God, that's terrible to live in that house. It has to be just a holy fear going on all the time. And nothing but a battle. So if you do what you vow to the Lord to do, and he does what he's supposed to do, it's amazing. Look in verse 6, verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also trusted in God, adoring themselves in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and not afraid of any amazement. That's where Mary took up the word, God calling me Lord. Right there. You want a good marriage? Study your Bible. Go to Bible studies, Bible conferences, and raise your children up in the nourishing admonition of the Lord. And last but two bound, you do it. And get back home. I'm going to go back out now.